Thank you for taking the time to listen. Church Hurt is real. We would like to hear your story to help others who have been abused in church. Only when we speak up, can we begin to heal from the pain. Please send your story confidentially to the email witmin@yahoo.com.
Welcome to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us as we study the Word of God together. Go get your Bible and let's see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today.
This is Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church and Radio Broadcast. Thank you for joining us around the world, wherever you may be. We hear something. Hope you hear something today that will be of encouragement, motivation, and if you're not saved, ask the age-old question, what must I do to be saved? Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to start with scripture and prayer from Brother Travis, and then we'll have exhortation from Brother Marvin.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to open your Bibles, I'm going to read Romans 1, 16 and 17. It says, the righteous shall live by faith, and the verses are, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from the faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And if you will, bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for a wonderful place to worship you. We love you, God. We thank you for waking us. We thank you for a wonderful pastor. We thank you for life. We thank you for Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Hi.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How y'all doing? Welcome to Walking Truth. I hope everybody got their vitamins, took their vitamins, their medicine, everything today, right? But I'm going to tell you, it's time to eat, y'all. I haven't had my breakfast physically, but mentally, I really need it. Because I'm going to tell you, it's been a long struggle for the whole week, and I know it has been for others. We are warriors of Christ, right? That's what we are.
Yeah.
I know some of us are wounded. We need to go to the infirmary. We need to get our healing. We need to seek healing, because we can't find it through man alone. Only God can provide all the healing. And with the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, we can do it. We can't use the weapons of this earth to try to fight the battles. Because first of all, the battle is for God. He made it. He fights our battles for us. He wants us to be strengthened through the word. He wants to be strengthened through one another. He wants to love one another. All the things that we need to fight these battles through these times, I'm talking about like corruption, just all kinds of little things that affects us mindfully. But we need to just fight and just get some healing. And my main thing I was going to say about for those that's out there that feel like there's no way, there is a way. And God is ready for you. He wants you to come to him with an open heart, open hands. He wants you to just not go by what somebody else wants. It's what you want, what you need. And if you just go out there to please other people, you're not going to get it. You need to go to him with open heart so he can give it to you. Because right now, what we're going through, we're afraid to go to people. We're afraid to go to him. You can't get any better if you don't get the healing. You can't do any fighting if you don't have the right tools. You can't do anything without God, our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to tell you right now, on this day, I challenge you to just seek help. No matter what it is, no matter what you're going through, you can be healed from it. And God is always in your corner. No matter if you think he's not, he is always there. Amen.
We ask you right now, God, for deliverance in any area that is needed, God. And God, that if we need prayer and if we need something, that we would reach out to our brother and our sister and ask for it, God. But the one question we ask, God, if we are straddling or if we are out of bounds, God, that we look to you and ask you to fix it and ask you, What must I do to be saved?
Amen.
God, we just thank you right now to be in your presence, God. We thank you for this service, God. We thank you for every individual that had a desire to be here and those who had made it, God. We thank you because millions didn't make it, but we know that when we get up there, we're going to be the one who did. And so, God, we just thank you right now, God. We thank you for being in our presence right now, just in this service, God. And we ask you to saturate our hearts and our soul, God. Clear our minds for anything that is not like you, God. Let us be able to receive your word, God. Let us just marinate in you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Holy Ghost, take over, God. We just thank you, God. We look to you when all our strength is gone. Hallelujah. In you we will carry on. Hallelujah. We just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. How many people know looking to him is the best thing that you've ever done?
Amen.
Because in this life, when you don't have direction and you don't understand, God fixes it, right?
Yes.
And even when he don't fix it, when you want him to fix it, you know he's working.
Yeah.
He's not going to be late to work. He should not show up. And his compensation is only that you obey. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
And that we have faith in him, right?
Right.
So in Bible study, we had just finished chapter 18, and we talked about Elijah, and I really want to go back to chapter 18, because I really think in Bible study we talked about it, but it's some stuff that we really need to just look at. So we're in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, and verse 20. Nancy, can you read just verse 20?
So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel.
So we're at Mount Carmel, and we have Ahab sent all the people because Elijah issued him a challenge and said, We're going to see what God is best. And so Ahab sent all the people to Israel and gathered the prophets together in Mount Carmel. So we have to know that Jezebel had 850 prophets, right?
Uh-huh.
And so 450 served Baal and 450 served Asherah, okay? And so Ahab is sending all those people to Mount Carmel. And so we have 450 prophets on one side, and we got one prophet on the other side. Mm-hmm. How many people know that if you are gambling, or you that's not good odds?
Right.
That's 450 to one, right?
Yeah.
And so 450 to one in all probability means that the one person loses. Right? If we go in the war, if we got 400 versus one person, mostly they're going to lose. So this is the stage that we're sitting, standing, right? Now, read verse 21.
And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word.
Okay, so let's stop there. Let's marinate on that. How long will you go limping? Some versions say wavering. Some, just to sit there. And he said that how long will you go limping between two different opinions? That's Baal and God. And let's just sit there because they sat there and didn't say nothing. So the question to you is, how long you going to sit there between two different opinions? How long you gonna just sit there and say, "I'm gonna worship my car today, but on Sunday I'm gonna worship God"? So let's go to Joshua 24:15. And yes, we did talk about Joshua 24:15 last week, but it's still pertinent this week.
Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So Joshua says he's going to serve the Lord. So we're going to go to Matthew. Y'all know me. Chapter 6. Verse 21.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Stop. So that makes sense right there. Whatever you value the most, that's where your heart's going to be. If you value God, that's where your heart's going to be. If you value man, your car, your money, your possessions, that's where your house is going to be. Your heart can't be in two different places. Despite what people say, you can't be in love with two people. You got to love one person more than the other. Right? Go ahead.
The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Ain't no explanation there, right? That's self-explanatory. You can't have an infection and think that your whole body is not going to be infected. And light and darkness cannot mix, right? When it's dark, it's dark. When it's light, it's light. Let's go to Luke 16:12.
Luke 16:12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
And so that is, of course, Matthew, Luke, and John, a lot of times have the same scriptures, but they have different point of view, different from different perspectives. But the word is the word. Let's go to Romans 6, verse 16 through 19.
Romans 6:16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed.
So right there in that sentence in 16, it says that you are slaves of the ones who you obey. Either you obey world or you obey God. And even back in 1 Kings, it shows that what Elijah is saying is still biblical truth in the New Testament. You have to decide if you're going to serve Baal or you're going to serve God. You can't serve both. You can't be at one master's house praising them and be at the other master's house at the same time. One of them going to be suspicious, right? Let's go to James 4. And yes, we touched on this last week too, but it's still pertinent this week. Amen. Amen. James 4, verses 4 through 5.
James 4:4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us?
Yeah.
But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen. And And go ahead and do number seven.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen. Let's go to Luke 16 and 13.
No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
And so let's go back to 1 Kings. I wanted to read that twice. Let's go back to 1 Kings 18. And we're at the point where the people of Israel, the house of Israel, are sitting there silent because they don't have an answer. Now, mind you, in Joshua, they said, no, we're going to serve God because we know God.
Yeah.
But in this instance, they just didn't say nothing. They didn't protest. They didn't say, you wrong. They say, you right. They just didn't have no words. Because how many people know that when you're guilty? You know that song say, guilty feet don't have no rhythm. They have no rhythm. They just sitting there like, I don't know what to say. Because they know that they are wrong. And sometimes when you're wrong, what can you say? You have no justification. Right? So then let's go to verse 22.
Then Elijah said to the people, I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, it is well spoken.
So we know, based on what we have learned in Bible study, that Baal's followers believed that he controlled thunder, lightning, and storms. And that we know that God controls everything, but we also know that God has appeared in the form of fire. So we know one person can do it, but they're waiting on their God to do something to create fire. Right? And so if Baal controls thunder, lightning, and storms, the only way that he could cause a fire in a drought is to either send some lightning and thunder to ignite this wood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if he does that. Because that's his capabilities, right? That's what they worship him to do. So if I worship a God, I expect he going to do what he say he going to do. Let's see what he going to do.
Verse 25. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their customs with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention.
So it says to the time. We have to visualize what they're doing. They're trying to get Baal to react. So they're cutting themselves. They, you know, the shedding of blood. Of course, we know that when you shed a blood, that is as the sealing of this covenant that they're having, they're doing all this oblation and all this other stuff. And it says, the note says, no, no, no. The 3-4 declaration emphasized for the complete lack of response on the part of Baal. The fact that there was no response indicated that Baal's impotence and non-existence.
Mimi, Mimi.
And so they did all of this for 6 hours. No one answered. And no one paid attention. So first they didn't say nothing because they straddled the fence. But then on top of that, now they did all of this for 6 hours to no avail. And nobody's doing nothing. No, I mean, Bell ain't came. All you see is a bloody mess, right? And let's go to verse 30.
Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water.
So let's understand something. It's been a drought. They put wood, and he says, douse it. Flood it. Which everybody knows, we talked about this on Tuesday, that if you try to light wet wood, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's not going to burn. So here, Elijah is following the directions of God and setting the stage, because once again, the people of Israel and our own self got to have a miracle in order to really receive what God is doing. We got to be wild in order to see what God is doing, instead of just looking at the little things, right? Mm-hmm. So let's see what happens.
Verse 36. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God."
Amen. We're going to stop right there. And we're going to go back into verse 37. I want you to read that again.
"Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back."
Turn their hearts back. Let's go to James. Hallelujah. James 5. Verse 17.
James 5:17. "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit."
Keep on.
"My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins."
I want to focus on how Elijah said, "Let's bring them back." And how many people know that you can wander away from God? Mm-hmm. You can backslide, but you can always come back home.
Amen.
And so, what Elijah did was that he found someone wandering. He found the people of Israel wandering around, lost. And they not just lost because of themselves, but they lost because their leaders cause them to be lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now they lost. They back in this wilderness because they forgot who God is. Mm-hmm. And so the word just says that if you find somebody, what? Wandering. Go and save the soul. Don't just let them be out there floundering. Mm-hmm. So you must bring them back. And so this is saying that you don't they don't have to wait for a miracle to happen. Mm-hmm. It is our jobs to go save those people who were once in God, to bring them back again. Amen. And we got to bring them back with the truth and love. Amen. We got to bring them back with no condemnation and no accusatory, no judgment, because they were once in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. They left. A lot of them left because of church hurt. Mm-hmm. Because of our judgmental natures, right? But we're supposed to bring the truth to people. Now, I'm not saying you got to sugarcoat anything. What I'm saying is you tell them the truth and you pray for them just like Elijah prayed for Israel. He asked them not to bring the rain so they can see for themselves to repent. Now, 3.5 years should have been enough time for them to say, ooh. Now, what we missed, it, we talked about in Bible study, and I didn't talk about this because the Holy Spirit just brought it to me. Obadiah was straddling the fence. Obadiah was serving Ahab and Jezebel, mm-hmm. but hiding the prophets in caves. And so when he gets in front of Elijah, he's scared. He's like, I don't want to take Ahab because Ahab gonna know that I'm still serving God. I'm not knocking Obadiah because he was trying to live. But you cannot serve two masters. You cannot. Either you know God gonna save you or you don't. If you know God's going to take care of the situation, or you don't. But if you see somebody who you know that God had been in their life and is gone, it's your duty to come, go back and pick them up. And if you know that God was in your life and you forgot about him because you ain't got a good job and you doing good, you need to come back home. The truth is the truth. And what y'all don't understand is time is winding down. Your time is not infinite. God is infinite. We're not. Amen. We are only here for a season. Mm-hmm. That season could be 2 years. That season could be 5 years. That season could be 60 years. We don't know our time. And what we do with this time is important. Elijah did what God told him to do with the odds of 1 to 450, right? God wants us to communicate with him. God wants us to bring his sheep back to the fold. Every one of his sheep need to be with him, right? He wants us to come to him. He wants us to get rid of those items and look to him. He wants us to give him our marriages. Our marriages shouldn't be an idol. He wants our relationships, right? He wants us to trust him and not other people, right? Our children shouldn't be our idols. Our money shouldn't be our idols. Our pastors shouldn't be our idols. Bishops, whatever you want to call you, should not be your idols. God is God. And we need to focus on him. What is the point of doing all of this stuff that we do if God is not our focus? Amen. We could sleep in and not come to church. If God ain't our focus, why waste your time on something that you're not focused on? I mean, you know, if you had a job and they don't pay you, what you there for? But we ask God to do a whole bunch of stuff, but we not paying him back. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what our time and go out and talk to people about his goodness. You shouldn't be in a job. You shouldn't be in a place where they don't know that Christ is in you. And if they don't know that Christ is in you, then you need to reevaluate and say, God, what must I do to be saved? What James say? My brothers, is anyone among you wandering from the truth? Let's just sit there right there. Wandering from the truth. Wandering from the truth. Someone brings him back. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. That means that no matter what you've done in your life, you can always come back home, right? God wants us to follow him and to cling to him. Ask this question, why are you limping? Why are you wavering? Why are you straddling? What are you afraid of? Why not cling to him? Why not only serve him? And so my question for you is, if you don't know Christ, I challenge you to give him a try. If you think you know Christ, I challenge you to get to know him better. In any relationship, you cannot only love a person on the surface. You got to dig deeper. That's why we have Dig Deeper Bible Study.
Yes, we do.
Because we got to dig deeper. Because this book is not just pages. It's lessons in here and God's voice in here that we need to hear to grow. Who wants to be with a partner where you growing and the other person is still a kid? Let's just be truthful with that. You want to grow together. So God wants us to grow in him. But we sitting here like, just feed me, feed me, feed me, like I'm a kid. But we're not doing our parts. How do we sit and not grow? How do you do that? How do you sit and not tell somebody about how good he is? And bring them back and say, you know what? I don't know what kind of church hurt you had before, but let me show you something different. My church is love.
Amen.
And no matter what walk, where you at, how you look, we're going to love on you and give you the truth.
Amen.
It's not about growing in ministry and people, like population. It's growing a ministry in God.
Amen.
You don't have to physically be here in order to receive the word, but to commune with saints that you know that you can be vulnerable with is important. Cannot be stagnant in the word. You cannot waver and limp. I don't know what kind of fence you've been on, but if you're straddling, something's gonna happen in the middle.
Come on.
So the middle, you gonna be cut in half, seriously hurt, or you just stuck. And I'm asking that you be unstuck. Fixing yourself so that you can follow God. I don't want to be the reason why somebody didn't get life. God asked me, Vince, what did you do? Well, God, I just didn't like her, so that's why I didn't tell her about your goodness. We read before, it's about our hearts. If our heart is evil, if our heart is consumed with the world, we cannot see the light. So when we go back to 1 Kings, 1 Kings means more now than it did before, because it's just not a story about how God did a miracle, right?
Right.
It's about how Elijah is trying to save a nation. The house of Israel. Now, mind you, you would think that, and we would hope, and we haven't gotten to that point, that the house of Judah would see what's going on. Because this is not just a message for the house of Israel. Everybody during this time was serving whoever they wanted to serve for their own. I feel like being judges again. But in reality, we never get out of judges. God said, what you mean? We always do what we want to do. And then we do what Adam and Eve say when we get found out. We hide and say, God, you can't look at me. You can't see me because I'm so naked. But you naked because you was doing what you wanted to do, right? Uncover yourself. Commune and cling with God. Stop waiting on the miracles. worship God when he ain't when you just walking around your house. Stop waiting on God to do these gigantic things in order for you to see him. You see him when you every day. You see him when you breathe. And so I would like for anyone who don't know Christ or who have backslidden or who are straddling to come to God in your own way. I don't need to know why you're straddling. I don't need to know why you who you worshiping. But choose this day, like Joshua said, to serve God. And understand that you can always come back home. If you mess up today, right, you come back home tomorrow. That's the difference between God and man. Some people's doors are closed, but God's door is always open. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come right now, God. We ask you that if anyone needs to be saved, that they grab a hold to their neighbor, they grab a hold to their friend, or they just get on their knees and ask you, God, to save them. Ask God, can I come back home? And he's going to say, yes, you can come back home. God, we just thank you for the things that you've done, the things that you revealed in our lives. And God, help us to be better. Help us to do better, God. Yeah. Help us to stop making excuses, God. Help us stop being afraid, God. Help us trust you completely, God. God, we never know what you're going to do and when you do it, but you're always on time, God. I've seen it for myself, God. God, help us bless others with your word. Give them our time, God. We don't have to give them our money, but give them our time and show them that if you walk this walk with God, how sweet it is. Amen. How good. Yes, you're going to have your ups, and yes, it's how you go down. But just like Elijah, 1 to 450, it's not how many people are against you, it's how you play the game. Amen. God, thank you for being having our back, our front, our side to side. Because without you, we are nothing, God. Cleanse our hearts right now, God. Cleanse our minds, God. Renew our minds, God, and our heart, and give us a right spirit. Remove the darkness, God, and bring us to light, God. God, let us ask, what must I do to be saved? Let us be able to receive the truth and not flee from it. Let us be able to receive reproach in the word, God. And not be offended by it. And if we are offended by it, God, let us realize that we got a lot more work to do. God, we just thank you for this moment and this time, God. We thank you for being able to worship you, God. We ask you to bless each person, God, to understand that we are all ministers in Christ, God. Let's heal some souls, God. If we see someone in our congregation or around us that need prayer, let us not ask them, do they need prayer? Let's just go pray for them. God, everybody is going through something. But as long as we got you, there's something that's going to be not too hard to bear. So we just ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, God, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.